Welcome back to More Than a Hemline. This is Danielle Immerman, CMO at The Reflective, and I am joined today by our founder and CEO, Liza Sakai. It is a very special episode because we are talking about something that we've been thinking about for a while, therefore it's special, and that is modesty as more than what you wear. Modesty is so much more than what you wear. So we're going to hop into it, but before we even do that, I want you to keep listening and just like go on up, give us a little review. It would be greatly appreciated if you could leave us a review. That would help us climb on up in the charts. And if we climb on up in the charts, then we are one step closer to making modesty mainstream. So please, please, please help us. We would be forever grateful. And that is all I will say on the matter. Now let's get into it. Liza. Modesty is more than what you wear. Wow. People usually just think of modesty as fashion related, wearing long skirts, wearing long sleeves, maybe covering your hair, your collarbone, if that's what vibes with you. But there are so many nuances to modesty, and those nuances include everything beyond clothing. So, what are your initial thoughts here?
This is really bringing me back, like back to the beginning, because I remember when I was first starting to learn about modesty, it was very much from the perspective of my faith. I practiced Judaism, and like the initial conversation was always, and this is something I respect a lot about my teachers, was always about thoughts, speech, and action, and then secondary, it was about your clothes. And I remember asking the question, like, what if I connect to the shift in my apparel more than I connect to the shift in my thought, speech, and action? Because, I mean, I don't know if you believe in, like, Enneagrams and different personality tests, but with my personality type, I'm a very external person. Like, everything I look at has to be aesthetically pleasing. My room has to be a certain vibe for me to feel calm, like, I, you know, gravitate towards things that are pretty and pleasing to the eye. As silly as it may sound, I know that about my personality. So this like external factor just made more sense for me. And I remember getting two opinions. There was one opinion that's like, if you're doing it on the outside, but you're not that on the inside, then you're totally off and like you're not doing the right thing. And then there was the opinion that shifting your external, if you're an external person, will then lead to a secondary shift in your internal, which is what I experienced. So that's what this is making me think about, is that like, for me, it started with clothing. The conversation is always about clothing, but it led to such a shift in the way that I think and the way that I speak and the way that I put myself out in the world, which is why I think I even like stuck to the change in clothing in the first place, because I saw how it evolved my thought, speech, and action. So that was a very long-winded answer, but that's like the initial thing that comes to mind.
Wait, first of all, I don't even know, what's your Enneagram type?
I'm a 4, like the individualist. Not really sure what that means. The only thing I ever took away from it was this point, but.
So funny, because you're also a Libra, so you're like doubly into aesthetics.
Exactly.
Wow, what a killer combo. I guess that's what makes you perfect for this job. I so feel you though. I think there's something really interesting about exploring modesty as more than what you wear, because you touched on this. It's internal as much as it's external. And sometimes if you're struggling with one component of modesty, you can switch and focus on another, and hopefully it will have this ripple effect. So for you, that was, you know, starting with the external and changing how you dress, and that, you know, had an inward ripple effect. Whereas, you know, maybe somebody who's struggling a lot with what they're wearing can maybe focus on another component of modesty, and that will have similar ripple effects. I don't think life necessarily always works that way, but it's a nice idea that I would love to explore further. So maybe what we'll do now is we'll touch on the various components of modesty, which is thoughts, speech, and action. I'd love to hear your preliminary thoughts on what does modesty, as far as your train of thoughts, look like?
Such a good question. I think for all three areas, it comes down to the word conservative, which is a word I avoid across the board. I also typically avoid the word modesty, but that's because it has a negative connotation. But here I mean it in the most positive way of just like being careful and being thoughtful about even, I think it starts with action, with what you do, and then it reels into what you say. And then from there, once you refine that, you're able to even refine and control what you think. So whereas I might, you know, before I had this mindset, I might have thought of a negative thought about myself or about someone else and just blurted it out. The first step in that was refining that back to like, okay, I thought about it and now I'm still going to say it. And then it was one step further back of like, I thought about it and now I'm going to change the way I'm going to say it, or I'm not going to say it at all. And that's what modesty of like thought and speech and action makes me think of. But what does it make you think of?
I think for me, it's so interesting because thought, speech, and action are obviously very intertwined and connected. But if we look at it in a more siloed capacity, I think they mean very different things and, you know, look very different as you move through life. Thoughts, I think, for me, are very personal and inward focused. So I think it really ties to humility and cultivating a more humble sense of self. And coming to realize that at the end of the day, we are just such a tiny microcosm in this world. And who are we? Who are we to this? Who are we to that? Like, we are such tiny fragments in the grand scheme of life. And at the same time, we are beyond special because we have so much impact in so many different people's lives. We are nothing as much as we are everything. So finding that middle ground of really coming to terms with that as far as how you perceive yourself and how you relate to others is really my understanding of modesty in terms of thoughts. And in addition to everything you said, speech, I think, follows similarly when you have this understanding that, you know, ultimately you're nothing. You can, in a good way, meaning like this is not supposed to detract from your self-esteem. You should have a healthy self-esteem always. But when you realize that you are not everything, you are not, the world does not revolve around you, you can come to really articulate that through your speech. For example, think of any competition. Think of any Olympic athlete. Think of an Olympic athlete that wins gold. They have so much bragging rights. If I won the gold medal in anything, I've never won gold medal in my life. And I don't think I ever will. But if I did, I would stand on that podium and scream at the top of my lungs, I did it. And I would go around town and be like, yeah, by the way, guys, like I won a gold medal. Like, I don't know if you realize, but like I would straight up wear that gold medal everywhere I went. Okay, that's like action, that's speech, but is that modest? No, that's really not modest. The athletes or the winners who humble themselves right away and just go back into the gym to train again, who don't rest their laurels, so to speak, those are the people that end up winning more gold medals. And those are the people that level up each and every year. So humbling yourself as far as thoughts and speech and action, I think ultimately is modesty and ultimately helps you achieve greatness.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
That's a crazy realization. I never thought about it like that. It's like, it's not only about like the way you're impacting the world, but also like the impact it has on yourself to refine your thoughts, speech, and action, and how that could bring you to a greater place in life.
Yeah, it's so interesting to really think about in relation to anyone. You can think of anyone you've seen in the news, any amazing entrepreneur, any amazing business owner, any amazing fashion designer, celebrity, like the people that I think we as a society really look up to and respect are the ones who are quiet about their success. I don't know many people who are very flashy and flamboyant with how much they've achieved and still get that tremendous respect from society. It's just, it's, there's some kind of friction there. If, I don't know, who's an example? Kanye West, for example. I love Kanye. I think he's a genius. I watched his documentary on Netflix. I think he's incredible. He's incredibly gifted. However, is there a part of me and a part of me and probably everyone who feels that he would be even more of a genius if he didn't go around saying he was a genius? 1,000%. Like, a lot of people are turned off by the fact that he goes around, you know, self-proclaiming himself as a genius, even though it's true. He would be even more successful if he just maybe took a step back and realized there's a time and a place.
I was going to give the example of his previous wife as another person that I feel like across the board, she's done so much in business and in media that I have so much respect for. Like, she kills it, but I definitely would have more respect if she had like refined, you know, her path to get there and the way it was like promoted and spoken about. So I never thought about it before, but you're right. That makes a lot of sense. But I think we're accustomed to, especially because of social, and I think this goes beyond like refining your thought, speech, and action, but also into the conversation of privacy, of like how much we keep to ourselves and how much we share with the world, and that being a part of modesty that people have just forgotten about completely. Like, we're so accustomed to sharing everything we're doing on social media and being proud of that. Like, that's like the best thing you can be doing, is showing everyone the vacation you went on and the hotel you stayed in and the boat you went on that day. And like, I mean, aside from the fact that it's like a totally false perception of the way people live their lives and their level of happiness, it's also just a lack of privacy. Like, who are you doing that for at the end of the day then, if you feel the need to take it and put it everywhere? And what does that say about you and your level of confidence and humility? And not to say that everyone that's sharing everything on social media is doing it with that intention, but I think a lot of the times that's where it comes from.
I love that you brought up privacy, because that's such a huge component of modesty that isn't necessarily verbalized. I think subconsciously we know that in a certain capacity, because modesty in fashion, at least, is covering up. What is covering up? It's keeping parts of yourself private, privacy. However, when it comes to social media, that is such an amazing example of how much opportunity we have as a society to practice and live modesty outside of just what we wear, but really in our actions as far as posting goes. I think privacy is so important because, well, I'm not sure. Why is privacy important?
It's not necessarily privacy as much as like not feeling the need to show off or receive validation. And by being private, you automatically eliminate the need for validation, because there's no way for anything to validate what you're doing. And it's also, I remember a couple telling me that they don't touch each other in public. And that's like a level of modesty for them in terms of action. And when I asked why, they said, it's not only about like, first of all, PDA makes a lot of people super uncomfortable. So that's level one. Level two is the fact that touch for them is a private and intimate thing. So by taking it out of their home and showing it to the world, it loses its sense. They lose their sensitivity to it and to the intimacy of it. But lastly, it's the impact that their touch might have on another person. So someone who sees them touching and they look so cute and so happy that isn't, let's say, in a relationship and is really struggling with that, and the impact it's going to have on them. Like, that's very painful. Or a couple that might be going through a harder time, whether it's in intimacy or just in their general relationship, that sees that and then looks at their spouse and says, why can't we be like that? And privacy might not just be important for ourselves and our own humility and our own like confidence, but also the way that we're impacting the people around us that we might not be thinking about as we post or as we touch each other or as we express a certain something in public. So it's not to say that we should like shell ourselves as long as anyone can see us, but it's like, what are we choosing to show the world?
What are we choosing to show the world? I think it's so important, because we as a society have gotten to the point where really there is very little left to the imagination, and there's very little that's kept private. And it's honestly boring. And I think, I don't know, there's just something really special about leaving something to the imagination. And I think on the topic of privacy, I think women have that a little more naturally. They have more of a natural ability to understand this concept and to really embody it and live it. I remember I was reading A Return to Modesty. I'm actually looking at it now, by Wendy Shalit. And I think I've been reading it for almost 2 years. Like, it's really dense. It's amazing, but it's like I'm having a difficult time moving through it because it's packed with so many amazing tidbits. And I'm at this point now where she's talking about Howard Stern and how he is just known for pushing people to the edge of what is appropriate. Like, I'm saying he's asking grotesque questions from his guests, and he does it on purpose, honestly. He was interviewed in this book, or maybe he did a previous interview and she featured this in the book, whatever it may be. And he said, if you look at his male guests that come onto his show, no problem, Howard can ask the most disgusting questions and these guys will answer. If he asks the same thing of a woman, there's a natural proclivity to keep a little bit under wraps. She can't go all the way to that edge that he's asking them to go to, because women, I feel like, have this understanding, this innate understanding, that there is something to keep to yourself. There are just some things, some topics, whether it's related to intimacy, your relationships, your mental health, your body, whatever it is, there is something to be said to keeping something to yourself.
1 million that I'm very proud to be a woman.
I don't know if anyone knows this, but I was almost a women's studies minor.
That.
Yeah, I was so close to minoring in women's studies. I loved the courses. I went through this whole, like, first of all, I think everyone is a feminist, like, innately. I think the term needs a little bit of a rebrand, but I was very interested in the subject. It's fascinating if you look at the history of feminism and how it came to be and the various schools of thought and philosophies on it, because there are various different philosophies on feminism. There are different perspectives. It's not just one blanket concept. So it's interesting to explore the history of that and how it's evolved today. Postmodern feminism is very interesting. It's like the Kardashians really practice. It's really fascinating. So maybe we'll get into that next week.
It's so hard to use that word also. Like, it's for sure such a good thing to talk about, because for us, feminism, like, we look at it as, like, within modesty. Let's use it as an example. Like, the choice, the power behind having a choice. So, like, it's feminist to cover your body because that was your choice. No man told you that you had to do that. So the second that modesty becomes about what your husband said or your father said, that's where I, you know, personally see an issue. But as long as it's a choice, dressing modestly is feminism. And in the same way, choosing to go into the street in barely anything is also feminist, because that woman was able to choose to dress the way that felt empowering to her. And, like, that's the miss. The miss is not, like, it's that people forget the first half of that. They think it's all about the second half of, like, being able to show whatever you want, but there also is power in and feminism behind being able to, like, choose what you conceal and choose what you keep private.
Say it louder for the people in the back. I love it. We'll be back next week with a follow-up on this conversation, because we have so much to explore here, Liza.
As usual.
I feel like maybe we should start leaving off these episodes with a fun get-to-know-you question.
The things that make me the most uncomfortable in this world? Sure, go for it.
What did you have for lunch today?
I had banana bread. I'm very happy about it. It was a brunch situation.
Homemade?
Definitely not. I cook, like, once a week at max.
I feel like I just learned so much about you. I love this. Wow, we'll have to do this every week now. Banana bread. Ugh. Okay, just tell me this. Were there chocolate chips in your banana bread?
There were not. Big miss.
Ugh. I don't want it. I don't want any banana bread that doesn't have chocolate. Thank you for listening to More Than a Hemline. Please shoot me an email at danielle@the-reflective.com with your thoughts and takeaways from this episode. If there is any one topic that you are curious about and would like to hear us cover, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. If you liked this episode, then again, like I said at the beginning, please leave us a review and subscribe on the podcast player of your choice. The only way we can move on up in the charts is if we have your help in reviewing us. And ultimately, that's how we will make Modesty Mainstream together. See you next week.